down.
Of course, we're vibing. And welcome, everybody, to Interesting AF or As Fuck, depending on your sensibilities today. My name is Linda. I have my esteemed co-host, Elaine, here with me today, as always. And we are here to talk about all things interesting, interested, and also kind of talking about how we connect to people, how we don't. And, you know, if you have just joined us, remember we have a couple episodes before this where we talk about a ton of stuff, how to enter a conversation, how to exit in a conversation. And today we are going to, excuse me, as we, again, in previous episodes have mentioned, we have small little babies that are germ magnets, and therefore we become germ magnets.
Yes.
And I'm on antibiotics currently. So that's
and I was on them 2 weeks ago. So.
Well, you know,
we haven't even been in the same room. So it's like, we just live in petri dishes with daycare children. So.
Indeed. And so again, the deep voices. And so today we're going to be talking about a very, we thought a very interesting kind of topic about comedians, and essentially, let's take you back. And I think, you know, Elaine, if I mess this up, correct me. A couple months ago, and Jerry Seinfeld is a comic that we obviously both really enjoy.
Number one. Forever.
I swear to God. And I know that you don't agree with me on this, but comics in cars drinking coffee is.
Oh, it's great.
I love it. Like I've watched multiple. Anyway, genius. And he is a very, as much as I think he's an asshole sometimes, I think he has a very good sense of how society is moving along. I mean, given his, you know, the shows that he's been doing, kind of his staying power within kind of the cultural space, I think is a very interesting way. And in a way, as a sociologist, in a way, understands kind of how society is moving. And a couple months ago, he had said that, and I don't know the exact quote, but essentially I'm paraphrasing, that he was like, well, we can't be funny anymore because, you know, things have changed and, you know, people get too offended or something to that effect, right? The effect of, you know, it's really hard to be a comic now because you don't want to offend. And then a couple weeks after that, or a couple like months or so, he basically corrected himself. And he says, well, in the end, it's up to comedians to find the line. Society constantly moves forward. And we as comedians really have to understand the line as to where we're pushing it, because we always have to push the line. We are pushing the line to what is acceptable in a way, and therefore we have to navigate that. And I thought that was such a great way to encompass how we talk to people. We are constantly, in a way, testing our own boundaries on how we communicate with the world, right? We have prejudices, we have thought processes, we have stereotypes in our heads. And as we're talking to people, we kind of have to, like, on our feet, figure out the line. I thought it was really big of him to actually talk about it, and to actually, he didn't really retract it. I think it was more of an explanation to what he had said before. Which I thought was interesting. And Elaine, I know you followed him like more than I, but I didn't know what you thought about that.
Yeah, I love Seinfeld. It is my number one seed television show of all time. I think before his time and before their time, so, you know, Larry David included, Julie Louis-Dreyfus, everyone on the show, they created a show that, to me, the only reason it wouldn't stand up now is because of outdated references like floppy disks and payphones, right? Like, if you go back and watch the show, if there's something offensive in it, it's the entire point of the episode. It's the, not that there's anything wrong with that, about being gay. It's the, they did an entire episode about being pro-life versus being pro-choice. They did an episode, there's an episode that involves a cigar store Indian that, like, yes, if you watch it, it's a little cringy, but at the same time, like, Elaine then jumps down his throat and is like, you fucking moron, that's offensive. Like, so you can go back and you watch the show, and it started in the 80s, went through the 90s. It is a staple of my childhood. It is the show I still fall asleep to every night because it is also my comfort show. And I just think the humor is just so funny, and it was ahead of its time, but it was never vulgar. And listen, you can be vulgar, you can not be vulgar, like, as comedians, and my husband and I love stand-up comedy. We go to stand-up comedy shows. We watch just about everybody. And sometimes we'll turn people off. Sometimes we're okay with them pushing the line that we're talking about. And I think it's an interesting thing that he said, because I also agree with it in terms of society is the goalpost is constantly moving, and comedians especially, who are always known for crossing the line, need to adapt, or they can also choose to not adapt, right? If you look at Dave Chappelle, is one of them, where he leans in hard into some of the things he's said previously, and people can decide whether or not, like, that's something they want to continue to support or not. And I feel like that's a risk that you take as the comedian going into that. But I think it was, and I agree with you, I think it is rare these days for people who are constantly in the media, whether they're celebrities or politicians or media journalists themselves, to say something, reflect on it, and go back and say, let me further explain what I meant. Not, you know, not like you said, not necessarily retracting it, but saying, like, the way I worded it, this was incorrect, and I want to explain further. Like, it's, most people don't go back and be like, hey, I was wrong, let me correct myself. But I think, so yeah, I was fascinated by it. I also agree with it. And I think if everybody just gave, like, a tiny bit of willingness to learn and be educated when the goalpost moves, I think we would be in a better place. And we can talk about this further, but I've got a good example from recently of kind of how this works, not necessarily with comedians, but I was on a trip with my mom and my childhood best friend of 37 years and her mom. And we're having this great discussion around dinner where our mothers essentially said to us, like, we can't keep up. Like, we want to be good people and good stewards of political correctness. Like, that's not the words they used, but it's kind of like what they were saying. But they feel like they're not on social media. It's just like a constant wave of change, right? The goalpost is not just moving 10 yards once a year. It's like running up and down the field. It's going out of bounds. It's coming back. Like, they truly feel like they can't keep up with what terminology they should use, what things they can say or not say. And so we actually had a really, really good conversation about it where my friend and I committed to saying, like, listen, we're not always going to be on top of it either, but because we're more exposed to it, like, we will commit to helping you learn, and we won't be so quick to just scream, like, canceled in your face. Because now we know that hurts your feelings, and that was not your intention. And these are two women who never say things that are like, this isn't just like, oh, they're a product of their time. Like, you know, this is not the case. They are two wonderful, well-educated, very smart, very well-spoken women who truly would die if they hurt anybody's feelings. And so it just might be they think they're using the right terminology and they're not. And yeah. So we committed to saying, like, all right, we won't scream canceled in your face. We appreciate you wanting to put in the effort to be better, and we will help you get there. But no, like, we're not always going to be right either, because the goalpost is constantly moving. And listen, sometimes there are going to be things that you may not understand entirely, or even if you don't agree with it. But if you don't agree with it, you also need to be open to still using the right terminology, because you might be having a conversation with someone who will be offended if you're not using the right terminology.
Yeah. And this is something that, you know, my husband and I were talking about. He's a German speaker, and in German, they don't have they.
Right.
And so they're going to have to create they.
Yeah.
And he was like, this is not going to be an easy transition.
No.
For a whole culture to change their grammar around the concept of the non-binary, which is right. Like, I'm not making a judgment call either way, but it's hard to change an entire, which we have changed languages. It's not going to happen overnight. And I think, and to that point, I think when you mentioned canceled, it came back to me, like, in there, like, in the time before and like before, we just use different mechanisms, right? It was ostracization, shaming. We had a couple different ways of creating the line where was the social, like, where was acceptable behavior? And I think what's happening now is acceptable behavior is now shifting to how you treat other people versus how you present yourself. And yeah. I think that, you know, like, in the past, it's like, we have to, you know, you have to present a certain image from, like, whatever, you know, when you're a certain, like, you have to be like a certain person. But now it's how you present yourself to the world in a different way is how you treat other people. And I think that's the shift. And it's extremely difficult to shift. What, because when you present yourself, you're presenting yourself in function of other people, but being kind and like being how you treat other people, that's a function of them. And you can't control that as much as what you can. And I agree. I think, excuse me. I think we're being extremely harsh as a society. I think there's a lot of change happening. And like you said, your mom and her friend are kind, well-educated women. They mean well. They're not going out there and going, well, you know what? No, sometimes people don't know. And it's not in the lexicon to go, you know, how do you identify? That's not
exactly.
That's not something, you know, because obviously this is
exactly
like,
what I was thinking.
The most and the best example is about trans people, right? In the sense of it feels like that's the adjustment we're making right now. Just like in the 80s and the 90s was the gay and bisexual. Now it's the, like, society is just opening up into how we can define ourselves and how identities are, which is wonderful. Obviously, we actually did that way before. It was very normal in, I think I was listening to a podcast. It was a very normal thing, like the Grecian times, Roman times, to have different identities. It wasn't
Native Americans. They call it
Native Americans. Exactly. It wasn't as binary. History. It wasn't as binary as it is today. It's really in, they want to say in the 1800s, 1700s, 1800s, where this kind of duality started. And even in the 1800s, you had the flip of the feminine and the masculine, right? You had men wearing wigs, men wearing long powdered wigs, heels, and things like that. So what society sees as normal changes. And I think that's as we like live, we don't realize that. We don't realize that that line constantly moves. It's not something that's so stagnant. It's constantly, it's fluid. It's fluid. I'm so proud of that one. Damn.
That's real good. You should pat yourself on the back for that one.
No, I know you can only hear us, but I'm patting myself on the back for that one. But I think that's, in essence, we need to realize the intent. Like, are people intentionally trying to hurt your feelings? And usually 99% of the time, it's a no. 1% of the time, yes, people are being assholes. But the others, it most likely are not.
And I think to bring it back to comedians, like, everyone is fair game. Honestly, like I think that's part of the struggle for comedians today is like, okay, well, what's off limits now? And really, most of the time, for a long time, the answer was nothing's off limits. And I'm not saying that that was right. I'm not saying that now we're in a time where some things should be off limits. I think Jerry Seinfeld was right in terms of you also, as the comedian, can choose what's off limits. What's not. You can also choose how you write the joke. There are some jokes I know that any 9/11 jokes to me are very off color. However, there are some that have been written so well that I was on the floor. I will give you an example. And listen, this guy, gross. This was before we knew anything about it, but I saw Louis C.K. in Washington, D.C.
Oh, bummer. You know what? Louis C.K. hurts. Why did you have to bring him up?
I know. I'm sorry. But he wrote a 9/11 joke that was so unbelievably funny. All of us talked about it for weeks.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to hit the joke correctly, but it basically involves his young daughter who for the longest time thought everyone was talking about 9/11s, like the quantity of the number 11, like 9 counts of the number 11. And it was so unbelievably funny that you're just like, this was so well written.
Yeah.
I throw that out as an example. Like sometimes the writing is just good and you know, and sometimes people, I think another thing with comedians is some people will use the comedy to get through their own traumas. And like, if that's not off limits for them who lived through the trauma, then like the joke may make you uncomfortable, but that was their choice. Right. And I don't know. I think with comedians, like it is probably a very tough thing for them to grapple with, or some of them, it's not very hard at all, but they take that risk.
Yeah. And I think it's the price you pay for being the jester, right? The jester, the whole concept of the jester.
Absolutely.
Ever since it started was to put up a mirror to society, no matter what that looks like. And that's really hard to say, to make fun of things that maybe people don't want to make fun of, or people, because, you know, it's really tough to do that. And, you know, God bless them. Obviously there are some that are just, you know, weirdos or whatever, but it's the price of being a jester. Are you going to read the joke?
I'm looking up the joke.
Yeah.
And so of course I had it wrong. But it's about 9/11 deniers. Oh. And she thinks he's talking about 9 people who don't think the number 11 is a thing. And so that's why I was like, fuck, I need to look up the context of this joke because it was so unbelievably fucking funny.
Oh my God.
It's like, you think you know what direction it's going. And I'm like, sitting in my chair. And then the punchline comes and I'm screaming. I'm laughing so hard. Like it was so well done. I wish I could really, but like, yeah, sorry. I was totally looking up the.
No. Cause I was like, I kind of want to hear it now. Like I agree with you. Like I hate like when it's like a massive tragedy, like it never, like ever, like it right. never flies for me. But like now I'm kind of like curious about this joke.
I know. I'm going to see. Okay, let's see. I'd have to like watch. There's a YouTube video of it. But anyway.
Okay.
We can edit this part out if it's so terrible. But it's
no,
such.
No, we don't. No, we, I think we'd be real. We'd be real. No, and I think, and I think, you know, and obviously we trade memes every other second. Oh, by the way, right. check out your Insta. There's a meme I sent you that's fucking
awesome. We might need to do this real time. No, I haven't checked.
But then Instagram. No, I know you have. And then I posted about it and I go, you know who you are because it's you. And just.
Is this the Wordle one?
No, it's not the Wordle one. It's the one where the meme one where like hot tea has been dropped 6 months and the case is reopened.
Yeah, I love it. Sorry, the real time opening of that probably isn't as good either.
But no, it's fine. But like I sent that part maybe we could.
Yeah, I
posted on my story and I was like, you know who you are. And
is this how we do it? Yeah, Mark clip created from Marker. There we go. Whee! So you know, okay. Right there.
Yeah, yeah. goodness gracious. Anyway,
sorry, I totally interrupted you.
No, it's fine. But I think that's the point. The point is, when you're having conversations with people, and I think this is what allows you to understand how society is moving. The more and more you talk to people, the more you understand where that line is, and the more you understand how society is changing. And maybe I'm a nerd, but I find that fascinating.
Me too. I find
it fascinating that life is changing in front of us in real time. We are evolving. We are changing. We are changing our, like, without judging it, but you know me, and I'm an Olympic level judger, but like, it's not a judgment call. Society is moving in ways, and it's a great way to observe it. And I think social media is another great one. Don't read the comments, but it's a great way to kind of see how things are shifting, right? I think we are shifting a little bit more away from this canceled ostracization type of thing.
Yes.
Where we're going, wait, hold on, let's let people, you know, maybe explain or talk. Because granted, like, Jerry Seinfeld could have gotten canceled for that comment.
Just from that one comment, absolutely.
Just from the first comment, they could have been like, oh, it's done. And he didn't really like go and explain. He was like, let me further go do this experiment, like go through this thought process about how comics are like talking. And I think connecting to people is the same thing. You're constantly wondering where that line is, how you connect to people, what are the topics you want to talk about? And it's your job to figure that out because it's how you connect to people and how you socialize.
And I completely agree with you. And COVID didn't help. Social media doesn't help. I think we've lost a little bit of the ability to be friends with people who aren't like us, who don't have the same beliefs as us, which is a goddamn fucking shame.
100%.
Some of my favorite moments during like the deepest, darkest days of lockdown, right? And I'm the type of person, I really like to try and find silver linings. We had a very small group, like trusted group. It was like five of us. But one of those friends, he's one of our best friends. He came over the day after George Floyd, and he's a Black man. And he also is very religious. And we sat and talked for probably the better part of 6 hours. And I asked him questions I have never asked anyone. Like, we got deep into a lot of things, and he knows that in our household, we are not religious at all. He knows we will never be sold on anything like that. In any institutionalized religion like that is not our thing. If it's your thing, fine. That's great. You do you. Don't try to sell it in my house. That's all I ask. And
don't impose it.
Yeah.
Don't impose it. Don't impose anything on anybody else.
Exactly. But we had conversations that I feel like are lost these days because some of the questions I asked and some of the questions he asked me and some of his answers and some of my answers were very uncomfortable. But we knew we could have this conversation because we're friends and we respect the ever-living fuck out of each other. And I truly think that some of that is lost, where you can disagree with somebody, but you can still respect them. And you should, I'm not saying you should debate that person until you're fucking blue in the face if you two are never gonna agree on something. But I think it's so important to ask people that you're close to and trust and know, like, hey, I know you and I don't see eye to eye on this. Can I ask you really why you have that stance, or why this? And it doesn't even have to be heavy stuff. Like, it could be like, I just, like, why is that your thing? Or why do you believe this? Or why did, you know, why do you do this? Why did you do that? You can have those conversations and still respect each other. And maybe there's some room for learning in there for both of you.
Yeah. And I think that's, you know, one of the episodes we want to do in the, in the future, is to how to have conversations with people that you disagree with, right? Again, in one of our earlier episodes, we talked about, you know, where you have those conversations. Those are not a work appropriate conversations. Those are conversations you have with friends or something. But I think, I agree. I think we've, with social media, like the bubbles that we've created for ourselves.
Yeah. Algorithms.
Algorithms and all that. But also, like, you know, and we're remote working, and so we're not necessarily exposed to the outside world more than that we have. But, you know, I think frankly, like, our jobs allow us to do that. I think the two of us have been able to be able to, you know, be comfortable with the uncomfortable sometimes. I think we had an episode this week about that, where we had, you know, text exchanges about that. But, you know, I think in a lot of ways, the bubble is allowing us to be far away from that line, and it's keeping us safe and warm. You know, in that episode where it's like, where she goes, oh, you know, being with Dennis is, you know, I feel nice and warm and, you know, numb, and then I just go to sleep. And then the other character goes, well, isn't that what it's like when you're freezing to death? And that's the thing. That's the thing. Like, if you're too much in a bubble, you become numb, and you become frozen, and you become stagnant, and you don't grow. You freeze to death intellectually, and you don't even realize it's happening. And I think that's why people should always push themselves to go talk to people they don't agree with. And I think in this seemingly polarized environment that we live in, and I think it's everywhere. I don't think it's just in the US.
Agreed.
That people have become extremely, I'm using sensitive in the wrong way. They've become extremely sensitive to certain people saying certain things, and then extrapolating that into, you know, who they support versus not. And then it becomes this whole big thing about what they represent. And yeah, you can disagree with it, and there's a lot of things, but if you don't talk to those people and you don't make them understand your view, and some people might not change their mind, and that's okay. They won't change their mind. I can guarantee that for sure. Because nobody like you is talking to them. Obviously, don't put yourself in danger. And if you don't want to talk to them, don't. But I think that's what we've lost. I agree with you, Elaine. I think we've lost the concept of talking to people we don't agree with at all.
And you should start with, like you said, you should start with people you trust.
Yeah.
You should. And I think it's perfectly okay to approach somebody and say, listen, I want to have a very real, but like, I want to have a learning conversation with you. I don't want to bring this up because I want us to jump down each other's throat. I want to learn.
And create a pause button. Create a pause button. When things start getting heated, Exactly. Do the safe word. Thank you for bringing my romance novels into this. I think it's been 30 minutes and I haven't talked about them at all. So thanks for that.
Linda, I want to have a real conversation with you. Can you educate me as to like why you're into romance novels?
Yes, I can. I can. And you know why?
It's fine.
The sex is part of it. But honestly, my knees would not be able to do 99% of any of the stuff that any of these books are talking about. I'm like, I'm too old for this shit, but I will read it gladly. And then number two, it's because it's so vapid and mindless that my brain just shuts off. Like it doesn't like, it's like kind of, it's like just, it's, you know, it was the downer. Like what's the, I don't know the drugs. And it's just like, it's like a CBD gummy for my brain. I don't remember. I've read, I don't know how many this year. I don't remember the plot of a single one of them.
Yeah, that's kind of great. They're mindless. Yeah.
They're mindless. And that's why I read them. I read them for the mindlessness aspect of it. Again, the sex part, I can't, that's not, I'm not learning anything. My knees can't do that. Like half of the time I'm reading it, I'm like, well, sometimes I'm reading, I'm like, I don't like that's like
all I can think of is one of my favorite movies of all time, which is Clue. Which if you haven't seen Clue, just Clue the movie from the 90s. Tim Curry, God bless that man.
Oh, man.
Look at a picture and they're like, how does that even work? And Christopher Lloyd grabs one of the women and goes, here, let me show you. And she's like, get the fuck off me. It's just fantastic.
But yeah, such a good movie. Like, yeah, that's my...
And that's comedy that may not fly today. There you go.
That's true. Would it, though? I don't think it would.
That movie holds up for me.
Look, Airplane holds up.
Oh!
Airplane fucking...
That is a movie I quote daily. And don't call me Shirley. A hospital.
Don't call me Shirley. What is it?
It's a big building where they take patients, but that's not important right now.
That's not important right now.
What's your vector, Victor?
And that's when I developed a drinking problem.
God, of all the ones that I literally post on my Instagram page regularly, God damn, that is one of the, you want to talk about slapstick comedy that will last forever. When he throws that, and that above anything else is where I develop my drinking problem. And he throws that cup to the side of his face. I fucking mean. What?
So for the Gen Zers, go just stop us. Stop talking. We're not helping you now.
Like, not going anywhere. We'll be here when you get back.
We're drinking. Like we're probably gonna fuck this up now.
Whatever.
So go. Just stop and go educate yourself.
Have you ever seen grown man naked?
Are you Kareem Abdul-Jabbar?
Do you like gladiator movies?
Are you Kareem Abdul-Jabbar?
Listen, kid.
My dad said you to do
it. When he grabs that kid by the shirt, holy shit.
Damn.
I've used another one I've used for the last week because I finally cold turkey Allegra D12 hour. Oof. Holy shit. The withdrawals I was having from that was insane. Oh. And listen, I take it for legitimate allergies for our listeners. I get leaf mold allergies. Don't at me, bro. Whatever that line was, that's probably outdated. But
you know what that is? I used that today. Don't at me again? Like, is that?
Oh, no, I'm sure we can still say it. It's probably just
just checking.
Like fleek or whatever. I at least 12 times this week was like, picked a hell of a week to quit Allegra D12 hour. Like, picked a hell of a week to quit Huff and Glue. Like, it just, It is one, and it's probably, here's the thing, for the youngins or for those of you who've just never seen it.
Yeah.
You've heard the lines 1,000 times. You just never knew where it came from. Exactly. It's from Airplane.
And it's from Airplane.
Awesome.
And I looked it up. It's on Amazon Prime Video for a subscription, Sling TV. There's all premium subscription. Rotten Tomatoes, 97%, everybody. 97%. It's so good. There's a second one, but don't want, we pretend like that one doesn't exist.
No.
First one, it's just, it, that movie holds up. And there are things that are like, they could be borderline offensive.
Yes.
But they're not, because they're making a point. Like, there's a point to the entirety of why they use those particular things. So good. Oh my God. And there's probably references that we ourselves don't understand, because it was like, it made in the 80s, like it was a 1980s movie.
Yeah.
Like we were born in the middle of that era. And like, there were some, you know, references we don't understand, but it's still, you don't need to understand the references to laugh at that movie. And I think that's the point, right? When you're actually funny, it doesn't matter, because it will like hold up. And I think the difference is between making fun of like a thing and then making fun of people. Because yes. I think once you get into like the, like you're trying to make fun of like a people, it gets really like, you know, it's like, oh, you're using like what society thinks of them. But I think when you make fun of like a situation, even if that involves those people, I think that kind of not clears you, but like makes it like an observation as opposed to like a mean-spirited. But all that to be said, that one. I have a drinking problem. That's when
I developed a drink. Please don't throw that drink up to the side of your face.
No, it's done too. It's not like,
I'm slow rolling mine.
I'm like, where's the Baileys?
I heavy handed this drink for sure.
I'm on antibiotics. I should be slowing down.
Whatever. I know. I was really good for like the first week, and then the last 3 days on the antibiotics, I was like, I got people in town. My baby's turning 3. Like, I feel like I've been on a bender for a week. I say a bender. It's like 2 glasses of wine a night and I'm drunk. Come on. Fucking perimenopause. That's a whole other goddamn thing we can get into another time.
Oh, yeah. That would be a great episode. Just to like.
Because no one like talked about it. I'm not prepared.
Educate everybody. Everybody. Like, I used to be cold all the time. Now everybody's like,
love to be cold all the time.
But I used to be cold and now I'm like hot. So hot. It was like, it's really hot. It's really cold in here. I'm like, what?
I'm just so hot all the time. We'll cry about that another time.
Well, listeners, thank you very much. We really lost the plot here. But I think, we're doing pretty good. But like 2 minutes ago, we're doing great. You're doing great, sweetie. Anyway, well, that, you know, thank you so much for joining us. Next episode is our doc is in. And Elaine, if you'd like to kind of give us, I know we did that a little bit in the episode prior, because I think we picked it before. But, you know, take it away. And I have, you know, I have the
awesome,
the little, you know, kind of the stats. So the next, and you can talk about it a little bit if you want, but you can introduce it and I can go into like the little details and all that stuff.
I'm kind of loving just like picking the documentary like before the end, because I already have our next one picked too. So I love it. Kind of seeing these on you. But, the next doc is in, is since we're here in spooky Halloween season, and I can't do horror films, like I can't do jump scares, I can't do it, but a movie that stands the test of time, another movie that stands the test of time, is The Shining. It is one of the most incredibly made movies and well acted, just phenomenal psychological thriller, will haunt you for the rest of your life. But God damn it, if I don't love that movie. There's a documentary called Room 237. It talks about, there are a bajillion fan theories, conspiracy theories about this movie. This one explores about five of them. And it's just a documentary about those conspiracy theories. It kind of pulls clips from the movie to support, or I don't want to say fully like debunk, but just kind of, it kind of introduces those conspiracy theories and says, here's how these fans got to this. And so just five really interesting stories. And it's, I thoroughly enjoyed that one. So we thought this would be a good Halloween one.
Yep. And just FYI, this movie has a 90% Rotten Tomatoes review. It was released in March of 2013. Is running, I think 102 minute running time. You can watch it in a couple different things, but I watched it for free on Pluto TV. So you can just click, you know, Google it and you can find it on Pluto TV if you're in the US. And it did fairly well in the box office. So budget of $5,000 and box office $367,000. So it really did a good job there. And so next episode, we will, you know, be talking about the Room 237, which apparently I just want to call Red Room. Though, you know, full transparency, I've never seen The Shining because that just freaks me out. And I'm just a child. What? And it's fine. Yeah, I've never seen The Shining. I've never
seen it. How did you say okay to this movie and you've never seen The Shining?
Because
that's on me. That's on me just assuming you've seen The Shining. I should have.
No. But I told you I didn't see The Shining.
And you were you probably did. And I was like, fuck it, we're watching this anyway.
We're watching it anyway. But I wasn't confused about it because I know the general plot of the movie.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that is our next episode. And you know, we have our opinions, our analysis, and we are very excited to, you know, talk to you about that in our next episode. So as always, we're signing off, and Elaine, take us out.
Stay interesting.